When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Tuesday at 4, we are joined by Jordan Mailata. Jordan's call is brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, how you doing?
Doing great, thank you. How you guys doing?
Good, man. We always start off with an Elliott Shore Parks update. I just wanted to tell you that I just lost to him in arm wrestling, and I'll never recover right here on the air.
No, man, I'm never going to call in again, man. What the hell, bro? What is going on?
Dude, it was a bad moment for me, and I'm going to spend the rest of my years here trying to make up for it. I got a lift.
Is there video proof?
Yep. Jordan, I don't know if there's video proof. I think it was off the camera, so it never happened.
He made sure he got off the camera.
No, yeah, because I asked Tucker, and Tucker couldn't get the right angle.
Yeah.
Very convenient of you two.
You got lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. Jordan, was the Steelers' defense, was that the toughest defense you've faced this season?
Yeah, I'd say that. Them and the Rams were probably the most physical matches that we've had so far this year.
Well, we talk about matching physicality, and you guys came out a few weeks ago when the Baltimore week was here, and everybody's wondering whether or not you all would be able to match their physicality. Turned out they weren't able to match your physicality. And I'm looking at this team now, Jordan. Is it safe to say this is a team that has embraced the whole, we are a physical team. This is what we're bringing to the table every week, and teams are going to have to match our physicality.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's safe to say that we've been playing Eagle football, and that teams now have to match our physicality. I think it's a safe statement to say. I don't know what's safe anymore, guys. You know, I don't.
That's a safe statement to make. That's safe. Believe me, we're not going to blow that one out. Yeah, we're not going to blow that one out of proportion. That's a safe one to make. Great sense of humor.
Yeah,
I like that. Here's the other thing I was thinking off the whole physicality part. It's one thing to see it with the offense, and we understand running the football, you guys up front with the offensive line. But I think it's obviously on the defensive side of the ball as well. There's a physical brand of football being played on that side also for this team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was actually just talking about the defense, speaking on behalf of them, actually. they've been playing physical ball all year, man. Like, you just put on the film and you just see them boys, the block destruction. I mean, it's insane the physicality that our defense plays with, man. but it's also something that you can't just show up. You can't just show up. You have to choose every day when you're in that building to work on it, so that in game day you just play free. That, you know, when you have that rep, it comes natural to you. So it's something that, you know, we've been building in the culture, and something that all the coaches have been harping on.
How important has that been? How important has that been, Jordan, for this year's teams? It seems as if, you know, coach has went about the preparation for the season, the preparation during the season, during the weeks. They've put an emphasis on that, starting with Coach Sirianni and everything. And it seems like that has been somewhat of a different mindset compared to where it had been last year. It seems like you guys have made a conscious effort to sort of build this type of culture. You know, you guys are putting pads on once a week. I don't know how much you guys were doing that in the past. How much has that type of stuff, the practice schedule and all those types of things, help build what you guys are as an identity this year?
I mean, it goes back to that old saying, talk is cheap, you know, show me, don't tell me kind of thing. And that's kind of what we embody this year, man. You know, just show me what you're about. And so coach has done a fabulous job, you know, from the start of OTAs, of just that is the message, that is the identity, that is who we're going to be. And so every week we come in, you know, just chipping away slowly. If it's lifting in the gym, if it's doing OTA drills with no pads, and then when we can get the pads on, then that's when you can drill that. So it's just been a common theme throughout this whole year. It's always been Eagle football. Let's not get that wrong. It's always been Eagle football, playing with physicality. But this year, it was less about, you know, telling somebody and more about showing somebody.
Jordan Mailata with us. He joins us every Tuesday at 4. So every week it seemed like we asked you about the slow starts. And this week, 10 points in the first quarter. What was the difference this week?
I don't know. That's a great question. I think the detail in the preparation and the execution. Obviously, with what happened last week, emotions were high throughout the building. Just of, you know, starting fast against a great defense. And so, you know, that you got to factor that in too with the weapons that they have had on defense last week. So you just kind of go out there, and execution fuels emotion is what Stout always says. And so that's what you saw, man. You saw guys executing. I say that every week, especially when you guys are asking me, oh, why aren't you guys starting fast? I always say, you know, it's all in the details. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the execution. Well, it's the same thing now that we're, you know, that we started fast. It's the same thing. Just we were executing at a higher rate than the other team was.
Jordan, nationally, and I know you guys control what you can control, and you don't care about the media, so on and so forth. But nationally, in the Coach of the Year conversation, Nick's name is not brought up. Does it bother, and it doesn't seem like nationally he gets the sort of respect that a coach with as many wins as he has would get. Does that bother you that Nick doesn't seem to get that the credit that he might deserve?
No, I don't. I know that I can speak for Nick on this. He don't care about what anybody else is talking about, or if his name's not being thrown in the hat. And Nick is just going to be our coach, and that's who he always has been. And I honestly couldn't give a damn. I'm just focused. We're all focused. I'm focused on winning Super Bowls. I wish his name could be thrown in the hat, if that's what you're asking for. Mm-hmm. If I think he should, yeah, I think he should be. He's done a tremendous job the last 4 years that he's been with us. You know, but at the same time, like you just said, keeping the main thing. That's always going to be the priority.
Yeah, moving forward, you guys taking on Washington this week. A lot has been made about the passing game and or lack thereof. I still feel like, listen, bread and butter is behind you big boys and giving that ball to 26. Moving forward, I'm wondering, I guess, to ask you this question is probably not a fair question, because you're not going to tell me your game plan or what have you, but the identity of the team. I'm just wondering, does that change, right? Like, does that change? We've sort of placed this identity as a run-oriented, defensive-oriented team, and I'm just wondering, does all the talk about the passing game start to seep in, and all of a sudden now we're going to be looking at a team that wants to come out and throw the ball much more than they have in the past? I guess that's the question I'm asking.
I think the beauty about having weapons on our offense is that we can be like a chameleon. We can change to whatever the defense is presenting us that game. So, you know, definitely playing Washington this week for a second time. They know they're going to base everything off our, you know, first game and our past couple games and see how they can stop the pass and run. And so I think the beauty of that is part of our identity is that, you know, the truth is we have weapons on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. So whether you choose to, you can't stop both. You're a really good team.
Yeah,
right, you've got to choose one with us.
Well, pick your poison, right? It's like it is. Pick your poison.
That's it. Pick your poison.
Well, 10 wins in a row is pretty good, man. Franchise record. The team's humming along really well. And, you know, coming into this year, I don't know. We knew what to expect, but a team this good puts everybody in a good mood. So appreciate you as always, and good luck against the Commanders.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you guys next week.
All right, Jordan. See you, man. Oh, yeah. See him on Monday?
Yeah, see him Monday,
yes. There you go. Jordan Mailata. Jordan didn't want to get into any trouble. Jordan never gets into any trouble. Well, oh, I didn't ask him about Tush Push. You asked him yesterday. I was going to ask about the Tush. But you asked him yesterday. So Jordan said he came off the field. He said hi to Pete Davidson because all the Eagles are friends with Pete Davidson now. And then he said to somebody else, you know, that he was sick of the Tush Push.
In a hot mic.
What did he say last night when you asked him?
So, yeah, he was, and I'm paraphrasing, he was pretty much like, it's like a love-hate relationship with the Tush Push, with those guys up front. It's obviously a very physical play, and it takes a toll on your body when the more you do it. I think they've actually done the Tush Push more. We have to check the numbers on this, but it feels like they've done it more this year than they have in years past.
It seems like this year they go into it thinking they'll do it twice if they need to, which never was before. So you'll see two in a row Tush Pushes where I don't remember seeing that so much previously.
So I think he was more or less referring to how physically taxing they could be on the body at times, but he also understands how beneficial the play has been, and it's not going anywhere. I think he said on the one Tush Push touchdown that Jalen had, they had to go for it twice. So on third down, I think he got his hand stepped on with the first Tush Push. So then you're like, oh, we didn't get in? And I even got to do this thing again?
Can I be honest with you? Every time I watch that play, I'm amazed nobody gets hurt.
Exactly.
I'm floored that nobody gets hurt. When I see Jalen like pushing his head, being pulled back, and I'm stunned nobody's gotten hurt doing the Tush Push.
Like I said, it feels like we do it a little more this year than we have in years before. So,
and earlier in downs, too. The second it's first and, you know, well, it's not first and goal, sure, but even in the middle of the field.
Yes.
Yep. Third and one, they'll do it.
Yep. Because they'll know if they don't get it, they'll just do it on fourth.
Yeah. Amazing.
215-592-9494. Do you believe the Eagles' passing game is fixed, or do you need to see more? Oh, look.
I'm sorry we don't have an unstoppable play in baseball for you.
Yeah.
Well, you can't. It's a pure, beautiful sport. That's why.
Yeah. You
also, it was stopped. Listen, on Sunday, it drove me crazy because they never just call it when it's dead and they keep pushing until he's across the line. Of course they stopped. Of course they're going to get it.
You should love that.
No, I don't. I respect the sport too much.
You're such an interesting fella.
I know.
There.
I thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You should have seen me on the fumble.
What were you like on the fumble, Jack?
No, I was mad.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
when Jalen fumbled?
Yeah, furious.
Mad, yeah.
Oh, here's somebody we've been waiting to hear from. Yoshi in Brewery Town.
Oh, God.
Oh, hi, Yoshi. What are you calling for?
My man, Spike. Jackie, baby. Hello, son.
God.
My son. How you doing today, son?
Oh,
you all right?
So,
how long is this call going to last?
So, for context here, Yoshi and Ike in the afternoon show. Hold up. Hold up. In the afternoon show fantasy football league, Yoshi played Ike in the playoffs, and last night, I think, beat him, what, 148, something like that?
Yep.
So, Yoshi won. So, go ahead.
Get your little pound of flesh. Go ahead.
Pause. Anyway, the thing is, see, what I want to explain to everybody real quick. I came up here yesterday, and I try to respect my big brother. I came in with a calm voice. I was trying to be humble. And then, he basically just told me, get out my room. I mean, kicked me out, closed the door, told me, he wanted all the smoke, guaranteed a win. Basically told me, I'm gonna punch you in your face, I'm gonna body slam you, tie you up and put you in the closet. He guaranteed what he was gonna do. But it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. You know, I sat there and I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna look at these games. So I put the TV on, I started looking at some streaming stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna peek in before I go to bed. It's around about 9:26. I peeked in and it was 147 to 140. And I said, you know what, that boy got a lot of stuff going on. I was like, I started practicing my concession speech. I went on to sleep and I woke up this morning. My baby cat, Sony, smacking me in my face before the alarm clock ran about 2:45, and I wake up because they love the Temptation snacks. I had to get up and get some snacks. I was like, let me look at my phone. So I looked at my phone, but I ain't had my glasses on, so everything was blurry.
Man, speed this up, man.
It's the most milking thing I've ever heard.
I have to milk it. So, you know, I put my glasses on, put my readers on, and I said 162 to 148. I said, cut God almighty. And I went back to sleep. I wake up about an hour and a half later, and I looked at everything. I said, they came through for me. And I just couldn't wait. I got up and I lift them weights, and all I thought about when I was curling them weights, that 100 pounds on each arm, I said, Ike Reese, don't get it today. I text Jack, I was on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw the first tweet at 6:30 this morning. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
I had to tag WIP on Afternoon Show, which is the greatest show in the world, and Ike Reese. I've got so many friends today. Kyle Quinn became a friend today. I got a lot of friends from the radio station today because of your loss. I don't guarantee nothing. I suckered you yesterday. I said, as soon as you get on the TV, I said, I got this game. Just don't say nothing. And boy, I own you, Ike Reese. I own you. I have a 5-1 record against you.
5-1?
Now I have eliminated you. 5-1. Because I beat you.
All right, we don't need to relive all the wins. Yes, yes. We don't need to relive all of them.
You know what? I can go up there and just tweet them if I wanted to and tag you. How about that? But, I love you, though, Ike. What's name? You're no longer part of the party. I could be there next week. I could be there next week, but go in the kitchen, make the Kool-Aid, pour me a double shot of Jameson whiskey with a slice of lemon, please, and fire me up a cigar. I might be there shortly, brother.
Is that it? Is that it?
Yeah, that's enough of you, Jack. I heard you, too. I heard you when we got off the phone. Yeah, you was like, what's his name? I hope you beat him. Or no, you was like, they don't throw the Doomsday. You should win all of this stuff. I ain't going to say that because, you know, you got a good team. But it's me and you this week. So I hope you like the fight this week because we know you're not a fighter.
Yeah,
so
Jack, you game. Ready for a fight with Yoshi this week?
I'll say this. Congratulations. You have been a gracious winner.
Oh, yeah. This is
very, very humble.
Yeah. Very humble. Hungry and humble, like Coach Sirianni said. You know, good job. Good win. You got me. I got nothing else. I can't offer anything else. No excuses. I lost.
Hey, I hope I get the C-spike.
You won't.
He wants to take down the whole station. He wants to take down the whole show.
You ain't taking me down. But I am on a championship train right now. You got no chance, Yosh.
I hope everybody get hurt this weekend. Hey, scrubby face, chubby Shaggy, get ready, brother, because I'm coming for you.
Name calling everything.
First off, down 20. Everyone's talking about it. Yeah, it's the talk of the station. And yep. You said I looked great the last time I saw you.
I love you. You do look great. You do. I just like messing with you because I know it messes with you. But you do look good. Jack's looking good. Hey, Ike Reese.
Yes.
I'm the Pappy. I love you, Mom. Happy Tuesday. I'm going to rub that belly, too. I'm going to sneak it in there, bro. Jump in, hit me up, say, rub it for me. Everybody hit me up. I'm like, get a belly rub for me. I got to sneak it in there, Ike. I got to sneak it in there.
My goodness.
Why don't you try that? Try that.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Hey, Yosh, you want to give us your favorite TV or movie, Dad, in honor of Eugene Levy's 78th
birthday?
It's not
yourself. You're not my dad, so don't name yourself.
Okay, all right. I'm going to take that one off the board. Look, I have a particular set of skills. I have a particular set of skills that I've acquired over a long career. Skills that you just don't want to see, Ike Reese. Liam Neeson, Taken. I mean, I want that guy to be my daddy if anything happened to me, because he's beating people up, electrocuting them. Liam Neeson is my movie dad. What's his name? That's my movie dad.
All right.
Yosh, have a good day, Yosh.
Yeah, have a good day, Yosh.
I noticed you guys weren't quick to move on.
No. Well, look.
Seems like you've been noticing that a lot recently.
Yeah, yes. What's... What is the point of fantasy football?
You could have hung up on him, Mike. I mean, you do have that capability.
I do not.
Yoshi was owed that.
Okay.
He was owed it.
Well, he won. He earned that. He earned that.
You know. And next question today is for a $50 gift card to the Stateside Distillery Tasting Room. You can join Joe and Hugh at the Tasting Room in Fishtown on Sunday for the pregame show. It's an ugly sweater block party.
Mm.
So there are some more Alec Boehm rumors.
They won't go away.
Yeah, we'll let Jack tap into those next. We'll give you an update there. Continue to talk about our main topic today. Do you believe the Eagles passing game is fixed? Are you sold on it? Or do you still need to see more? 215-592-9494. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You know that I've bought my friends from Scott Honda in Westchester, where I bought my first car and my current Honda. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was in there and test drove their all-electric, Honda's first all-electric SUV, the Honda Prologue. The Prologue is sleek, yet sporty, and packed with technology. Also, very spacious for adventures and growing families like myself. So, celebrate happy Honda days at Scott Honda of Westchester, and now Scott Honda of Vineland, New Jersey. And when you go, make sure you test drive the new Prologue like I did. It was awesome. And definitely ask about the unbelievable deals they have on the Prologue right now. Visit scottautogroup.com. That's scottautogroup.com. And tell them Fritz sent you.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, Jack, I was just explaining something to Ike that I think means we will need a rematch of the arm wrestling thing between me and Elliot.
What happened?
Well, if you see where I am over here, no, I need to present my case. If you see where I am over here, I'm going this way, right?
Sure.
I don't have anywhere. He was able to hold on to the ledge of the counter.
Oh, well, you can't hold on to the ledge of the counter.
I didn't have a ledge.
I didn't see it, but I understand the
well,
the
I would hold.
Making...
I agree. I would hold on to a ledge if we both had a ledge, because in when you
well,
know
he should not have been able to hold on to the ledge. Well, now I know it was
over
done...
the top. They had the thing
where you hold on to.
Yes.
Even when you did the arm wrestling competition with Carly.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, we
forgot about that.
The afternoon show arm. Thank God nobody broke their arm.
Yeah.
But the afternoon show arm wrestling challenge, you had the thing where you hold on to with your hand. So look, Elliot beat me, but I'm saying I don't think it was totally fair, and I'm requesting a rematch.
All right, listen, and next time, get it on camera.
Yes, and we'll get it on camera.
And be professional for one time on this show.
Yes.
I mean, holy cow.
I think
well, everybody wanted it on camera.
Imagine the reaction on social media of you and Elliot arm wrestling.
Yeah, what we have to do is set the date and the time for the rematch, and we make sure that it's on YouTube when it happens. What?
Yeah, it's going to be sometime in mid-January.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I know. I was thinking about next Tuesday, but we're off next
Tuesday.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I think it's, we figure it out. It's in January at some point, obviously. Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it on Martin Luther King's birthday.
when you're not here.
How do you know I won't be here?
Well, you always take off first.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Martin Luther King Day.
Yes, it's Martin Luther King Day.
Not taking anything against it.
What are you dismissing that
here.
For,
there's
Jack.
No dismissal.
Okay.
Please write that down and note. It was not dismissal. I'm just saying Ike's not here on that day. Everyone take a deep breath. All right? I like my job. I got a second kid coming. All right? Jeez.
I'm trying to hold on to my card as long as I can.
Yeah, well, don't worry.
Coming to work on Martin Luther King Day, it's going to be an issue with everybody.
Yes.
Don't worry. We're going to discuss that more in the top 5-5.
I don't even know what now.
Wait a minute. What?
Nah, I'm still saying.
We're way to the top five. Hold on. Right. I do hold a I had to think about this for a second. The Eagles could be playing that Sunday in a playoff game.
I know.
You got to work on that.
I will be here Monday. Yes, right. Yes. Dr. King understands.
Yeah, we will pay our respects to Dr. King here, but if there's a play. Yes.
Well, so they play January 12th, I believe, is the first playoff game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the final game is the 6th or whatever. The game against the Giants is the 6th, right? Or the 5th or whatever that first Sunday is in January.
We'll break this down.
Dr. King Day is, his birthday is January 15th.
Okay.
So I can actually take that day off.
In as a trade.
And come in on that 13th.
Which would be after the playoff.
Yes, yeah. Would be after the game.
Unless we get the one seed, in which case there will not be a game that day, that Sunday.
You know what? I think it looks like Martin Luther King's birthday is being celebrated on the 20th this year.
Oh, well, then that will definitely be after a playoff game.
Yeah. But I'll take off Wednesday for the day that he was actually born.
There you go. We have it all figured out.
I'm going to open the show with that after the playoff game.
This is after coming back from a holiday vacation. I'm already talking about taking another day.
This guy. Team guy. I don't know. Might have left that at the NovaCare facility.
Yeah, but again, Spike, it's been a tough go of it. With Ike in the... We'll discuss it more in top five. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Do you want to update us on what's going on with your team?
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Has Jackie Baseball...
Happy birthday, Roy Taylor. Now, what does that have to do with anything,
man? Nah, I just felt like it. Felt like it was appropriate. All right, first thing we have to get to here, it's very, very, very important and kind of scary, is that Rangers now a Boris client. Came out last night that Ranger Suarez is now a client of Scott Boris.
Trade him.
Which, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now. Yeah.
He's going to want to get paid. He's going to want to hit free agency.
Yep.
And
I'm serious, trade him.
I think they're trying to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
you think
they are?
Yeah.
You think they're trying to trade Ranger Suarez?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Wow, yeah. Okay.
And I know that.
Yeah, well,
I think they're trying.
Well, I want to know everything you got there, Jackie Baseball.
Well, do you think
they're trying to trade for a closer right now.
Okay.
Do you think they can trade him without adding another starter, though?
I think they're going to, if and when they trade Alec Baum, I think it'll be for a starter.
Okay, all right, so which would allow them to trade Ranger possibly for a closer.
And then they're going to probably sign a Turnbull-ish type guy.
What do you think Rangers' value is across the league?
It's tough because it's heading into a contract year, and he only has 1 year left.
And he was pretty iffy in the second half
of
the
year. And he's been banged up every single year. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. But I think he's a part of a trade package.
Okay.
We'll see. Now, speaking of Alec Boehm, Ken Rosenthal on Fair Territory earlier today had this to say about where the Alec Boehm trade talks stand.
So,
well,
you know,
get ready.
Well, yeah, we're waiting.
You know, whether he goes to Seattle or not, I thought the most telling part there is that he does not think Alec Boehm will be on the Phillies to start next season, is what Rosenthal said there, I think is the most notable thing.
Let me ask this. So are they asking for too much in return for him?
Well, given that they were asking for Mason Miller from the A's, and they've asked for Kyle Tucker, I think they've overvalued Alec Boehm.
Well, see, and that's why I'm confused at, Spike. From what I'm hearing out of you, and not that I disagree with it, I'm just saying I'm getting sort of a mixed message here with the Phillies. Because if you want to move off Alec Boehm because you feel like he's a detriment to the team, and the way Ken Rosenthal said it, it's almost like they're not going to spring training with Alec Boehm on this roster. Like, he has to go.
So
I'm just wondering, like, why is that?
Well, so the first thing I think is that, Jack, I think as far as a non-high-level prospect, he is their most valuable major leaguer that they can also trade.
Yes.
He is a productive, and he's got a low salary.
He's better than Marsh, better than Stott.
Right. So I think one
That's
of the
a low bar.
Yeah. Well, I think I think one of the reasons they feel like they have to trade him is they know they need an upgrade somewhere, and he is probably their best path without trading one of their
sure.
high level prospects. So I think that's the first thing. But the second thing is, I'm going to, on this one, give Dombrowski a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. Because what can happen sometimes is you take your best shot with the guy, and maybe you make five phone calls with players that you probably don't think that you can get with Alec Bohm, but maybe they value the guy differently than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know the answer to it unless you call up and you offer it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Morey always gets killed, because all these trades will leak out that he made this ridiculous offer to somebody.
And only the bad trades usually get leaked.
That didn't happen. Right. So I think maybe what's happening here is he said, hey, look, before we trade him for what we consider an even trade, mm-hmm. Let's see if there's anybody out there who may value him more than we value him. Hey, look, maybe the Astros value having 2 years of Alec Bohm over 1 year of Kyle Tucker. Hey, look, maybe the A's, value Bohm in this way more than they value Mason Miller. So maybe he just wanted to shoot for the stars first, and now that opportunity is probably gone, maybe you get a little more realistic.
I don't think he's getting traded.
I don't either. I don't think so.
No.
Really?
Because I don't think they're stuck between is there a clear upgrade out there? I don't think
right.
they want to pay
right.
Alex Bregman 7 years, $200 million.
Right.
Nolan Arenado's cooked. I mean,
yes.
he's willing to move to first base, which hurts his value because his bats really slipped. So how does trading Alec Bohm make the Phillies better?
Better. Right.
And
right.
I think that's what they keep coming up against. So if they can get Mason Miller for him, sure. If you can
sure.
get Kyle Tucker for him, sure. But we're not going to give Alec Bohm away. So I don't know where they, unless, again, I don't know who the third baseman is if they don't get him, and then you're talking yourself into Arenado. I don't really think he's going anywhere.
Well, and here's the other thing with that. If, say they wanted Mason Miller or Kyle Tucker, well, how badly do you want those guys if you're not willing to add, Aiden Miller? No. Mason Miller is the pitcher.
Mason right. Miller's a pitcher.
Like Aiden Miller is our
Miller's
guy.
Is a
yeah,
yeah that's what I mean.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to add Crawford, Miller, or one of those guys, I'm not even going near Painter. But I'm saying those guys, if you're not willing to add that to the Alec Bohm package, how badly do you really want those guys?
Yeah, I think they wanted them enough to say, hey, let's give this a try and see what happens. Like,
but you're offering up something that those teams aren't going to really take.
You never know until they say no, I guess.
My only thing is if you're hoping somebody is foolish enough to give you something for Alec Bohm, how badly are you really trying to move off Alec Bohm?
Right. I think it's one of those things where a lot of trade offers we never hear about.
Mm-hmm.
So how many times has somebody been offered for somebody that sounds unfair that we just never know about?
Yeah.
And it's just these with Bohm are being leaked. I guess my biggest question on this is, why are so many of these rumors hitting the media? Like, why are so many of the Bohm rumors hitting the media? Because it makes it seem like the Phillies are desperate to get rid of him, which lowers his value.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is that his value now might be lower than it was a month ago because you hear about the fact that they're trying to shop him.
Well, and maybe they're trying to put pressure on Dombrowski to make a move. Like I think there maybe other teams are like, you got to do something here, right? Like,
right,
Dave,
right,
you
got to
do something.
Right.
You're not going to run it back with the same team. And Dave's trying not to
get suckered into it.
So he's not, would you agree, he's not operating from a position of strength?
On the Bohm thing?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because that's the only real trade piece you're moving
on. But I think what
I also think
what he's trying to do is not look desperate.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're operating from a position of strength. I think that my guess would be the perception around the league is that the Phillies are desperate.
I agree with that.
Right. Right.
I agree with that, but they don't appear to be desperate enough to actually make a deal happen anywhere.
Right. But would you could talk yourself into that being a credit to them?
Yeah.
Is that they don't think they are, like, they don't want to make a desperate trade because they feel like there isn't a desperate trade out there.
Run it back.
That can, yeah.
Print the t-shirts.
Yes, run it back.
Is there anything else there? Or is it just that?
Well, so they are listed by Hector Gomez, who is one of the more plugged-in reporters for Latin America. He said that they are on the list of teams that are interested in Teoscar Hernandez. He lists them as second behind the Red Sox to get him.
Oh.
I know. Very exciting. And he's only asking, I know this is going to sound crazy, he's only asking for $22 to $24 million, which isn't too crazy to play left field. The issue is you have to give up a draft pick to sign him. No one cares about draft picks. I care about draft picks. But for most people, it's not, giving up the second and fifth round picks, not a big deal. I care about it. But I don't think the Phillies really want to do that.
Well, he would be an upgrade in left field.
Oh, not even. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
That seems like an easy thing. Was he a three? You said he's a three-year
deal? 3 years at like $22 to $24 million a year.
I mean,
that's a win.
That seems easy.
I agree. Besides the draft pick.
You know what? Well, it's the draft pick. And if they are right at the edge of what they want to spend from a salary standpoint, then the question becomes, is it worth dumping JT for it?
Yeah, well, that's what I can't figure out, because they're at 290 right now. The next threshold is 301, so right. They really don't have that much, but you have to add to the team, so you're going over it anyway. But if you go over it, you're getting taxed at 110%. So let's say they go to like $320 million for their overall payroll.
They pay 40 for that 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or 44 for that 20.
Yeah, which is a pretty hefty tax penalty.
Yeah.
But also, you're stuck again. You're stuck.
Run it back. They are definitely running it back. All right.
I agree. Right.
That's a 90-plus win team. We'll make the playoffs.
Maybe.
By the way.
The Braves, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't say guaranteed.
Yeah.
Just saying.
By the way, more bad news.
Oh, boy.
Patrick Mahomes is a full participant in practice today.
Oh, the Wentz dream is over.
He was worried about his job.
He knew it.
You guys
he
are
knew
idiots.
It, man. He knew it.
He was worried.
Will you talk about National Appliance Warehouse?
Yeah, well, I will. It's just like, come on. Patrick Mahomes, what a selfish. All right.
He's selfish?
He's selfish.
Practicing with a high ankle sprain.
Take a week off?
Dude, you have one loss on the year. Let Carson cook. It's fake ankle injury that happens to him every single year. Anyway, the holiday season is a perfect time to see our friends at National Appliance Warehouse and upgrade your appliances for the new year. My friend Mark Stamack and his team will make sure you have a great experience. Trust me, get that on National Appliance Warehouse. You walk through the door, you feel like you are part of their family. And on top of that, you're going to get the best price, not only because tax-free Wilmington and Middletown, Delaware, not only because of great savings events like the season of savings that's going on right now at National Appliance Warehouse, but also Price Assure. Price Assure, a piece of technology specific for National Appliance Warehouse that instantly updates price tags all throughout the store if it finds a lower price elsewhere. Maybe you're concerned that next year's prices will rise, but you're not ready for the delivery yet. Take advantage of today's incredible savings, and they'll store your purchases at no charge. Just ask for details. Another example of what National Appliance Warehouse can do that chain stores cannot. Go to nationalappliancewarehouse.com or visit their showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
You know what? I'm actually getting pissed about this Elliott thing, to be quite honest with you.
About the arm wrestling
thing?
Yeah,
I'm getting pissed.
Well, it's a tough thing, because he's so weak-looking. Well,
he screwed me on it. I mean, it wasn't fair.
You think it was an inside job?
Well, it was an inside job. I didn't think about it, and I saw that it was unfair. I let it happen anyway. I won't let it happen again. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Diamond studs, necklaces, engagement rings. Mark's Jewelers has you covered for the holidays. Finish your holiday shopping at Mark's Jewelers. The question for you: did Sunday's passing performance end the debate, or was it just a good game? 64% say ended it. 36% say it was just a good game. 215-592-9494. Ken and Cinnaminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Ken.
What up, Ken?
Spike, if I didn't know you and I saw you walking down the street, my first thought wouldn't be, there goes an arm wrestler. So, I wouldn't take that too personally.
Well, yeah, I am not... an arm wrestler, but losing to Elliott is crushing, I'll be honest with you. But the fact that it wasn't fair, I think, should be crushing to everyone. All we want is fairness and that sort of thing, and that wasn't fair.
I think you should definitely do a redo, and you should have some kind of stakes where it's for charity.
No, absolutely. Would love to.
There you go.
If Elliott loses, we donate him to charity.
All of his shoes. You could donate them to
all the shoes, yes, charity. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So before I get to the Eagles, the Phillies, listen, when Rob Thompson said this is a championship roster 3 days after they lost to the Mets, that kind of told you everything you needed to know about what their plans are for the offseason. So I hope Jackie Baseball is happy with Mr. Romano coming into town, because that might be about it. So
we'll start the parade now, Kevin.
There you go. Spike, you're like, I can't even begin where the contradictions are with you that I'm trying to put my finger on.
Okay.
So, you know, you're saying that Nick Sirianni would be second, maybe third on your list for coach of the year.
Yes.
Yet you can't bring yourself to acknowledge that he's a better coach than
Can we just talk about the topic we're talking about? The coach of the year is not who the best coach in the NFL is, or a ranking of who the best coach in the NFL is. It is a ranking of who did the best job that year. So it is not I don't know. Think of a great coach who's not having a good year. Shanahan. He's a great coach not having a good year. But that doesn't. Just because he's a great coach, I don't think he should be a coach of the year candidate. So they are independent of each other.
Well, let's talk about this passing question. Okay. Because I am never going to be confused for O.G. Wade, but I have never been a Hurts hater either. I am more of a Hurts realist. The things that he does well, I acknowledge he does well. The things that he does need to improve on, I acknowledge that he needs to improve on them. The Carolina game, in terms of a passing, passing output, was really the worst, and really the only really bad passing game that they had this year. You know, it's you look at that Rams game, and the only thing that people can remember from the Rams game, understandably so, is, you know, 270-plus-yard touchdown runs from Saquon Barkley. But if you go back and you watch the game, Jalen Hurts played a really, really good game. He had 173 yards passing, but he played a great game, and he was in charge of the offense the entire game. He was in command of the offense the entire game. So the thing about that makes the Eagles unique is that they're the only team in the league that can do this to you. So the passing plays early in the year, kind of the perception of the Eagles' passing offense with Jalen Hurts, was that he couldn't execute the intermediate, you know, get the ball out quick, take what the defense gives you passing game. And a lot of the pass plays that they made earlier in the year were chunk plays, right? And think back to the Cincinnati game. The kind of chunk passes where the perception of Jalen was, well, he throws a great deep ball, but, you know, he can't throw a 10-yard, 12-yard curl on time, okay? And so they see a lot of too high safeties for most of the year. And, you know, because the perception is all the way back to that playoff game against Tampa Bay, you know, he can't read. So teams are throwing too high at him, making him try and decipher what he's seeing. So the Eagles go out and they punish teams with the run game and make them pay for that. And then Pittsburgh comes in here on Sunday and they say, nope, we're not going to let you do that. We're going to make you beat us in the intermediate game. And that's exactly what he does. They're the only team in the NFL that can do that to you. Is he as good as Josh Allen? No, he's not as good as Josh Allen. Does Jared Goff throw the football better than Jalen Hurts throws the football? Yes, he does. But the Lions are a running team, and they all have to account for Jared Goff in the run game. With the Eagles' run game, you have to account for Jalen Hurts in the run game. So, you know, not all running games are built equally, obviously. So if the question is, do I believe that the Eagles' passing offense, as it's currently constituted, is good enough for this team to win the Super Bowl, I absolutely believe that. 100%, because they're the only team in the NFL that can do this to you. And for weeks now, we've been hearing there's going to come a time where Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw them back into a game. I don't believe that. I don't think that there's any reason to say that. I reject that as this kind of assumption that there's going to come a time when they're down by 20 to somebody, because they don't give up 20 points in a game. So for this team, absolutely, this passing game is good enough for this team to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. Okay, I like you're talking about passing them back into a game down 20 points. That's not what my proposition has been. But that's fine.
You were asking, do I buy the passing offense of this team? Now, the question that you're asking really is, do I buy the passing offense of this team based upon just what happened last Sunday, right? So that's kind of where this question comes from. But if you take a larger picture look at it, do I buy the passing offense of this team, you know, holistically, including last week, but looking at what the passing offense is in this, in the grand scheme of the entire offense the whole year, I absolutely buy the passing offense of this. And if nothing else, the last Sunday's game against Pittsburgh, we saw something that we haven't seen a lot of out of Jalen, which is winning in that intermediate pass game.
Yes, so, which I guess what I would say is I want to see more is there for them every game. It would make life easier on them. It would make life easier on Saquon Barkley. It would make life easier on them. Nobody, I don't need him throwing 40 times a game. I don't need them changing the focus of the offense. I need him to take what is there, and he had certainly regressed in his willingness to do those things. So as long as he's willing, and the one thing that you haven't brought up about the passing rate is their sack rate has been too high. Being 30th in the league in sack rate, they're sacked on one of every 10 pass plays. It's too high. And that is not an offensive line thing. It's a Jalen thing. And it's it's not getting rid of the ball in those short and intermediate routes. So routes. Right. So all I would say is I agree with largely everything you said, except that those passes are there for them earlier in the game and they're just not taking them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and you said it, you hit the nail on the head, but there's a reason why Jalen, you know, does hold the ball as long as he does sometimes. He hit a pass to Devontae on that 10-minute-plus drive that closed out the game where Devontae ran a curl, and then he broke off the route and just kind of sagged a little further downfield into the dead spot in the zone. And when you watched it from behind the end zone, from the behind-the-end-zone angle that they showed on the replay, and there's no quarterback in the NFL that can stand back there and do that because of the offensive line and the protection that he's afforded. So some of that comes with so much trust in his protection that he's willing to stand back there and take a sack as opposed to put the ball at risk. I would love to see him get the ball out quicker, but you know, part of that comes from the trust that he has in his protection. He's the only quarterback in the NFL that has that kind of luxury. It must be really nice to play quarterback behind those five guys.
All right, Ken, you want to give us, in honor of Eugene Levy's 78th birthday, give us your favorite TV or movie dad.
Serenity Now, Frank Costanza.
We already got Frank Costanza. You got a backup?
Well, he had Zuzu's petals in his pocket, right? George Bailey.
Who?
I don't know that one.
George Bailey?
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, jeez.
George Bell.
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a black and white movie.
Yeah,
hard to tell.
It's an old movie. It's one
he
of the.
Said it's hard to tell.
Yeah, thank you for the call. That's going to make Ken really mad. We're just like, it's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
It's actually one dad out there. I'm shocked that hasn't been named.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
TV or
TV
movie?
TV or movie?
TV.
Okay. It's like you treat that like it was a trick question.
Well. Well, because I was thinking, had he been a movie dad as
okay,
well.
Okay, separately.
Yeah,
okay.
Separately, yeah. So, he may have, but it's mainly TV.
So we are all really curious about today's top five, given what Jack sort of teased earlier. Jack, do you want to give
everyone... One of us is not curious.
Give everyone a little tease as to what the top five is?
The biggest little battles at WIP.
I got you now.
Yeah, all right, that is next.
I can work with that.
On the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. That's what she said.
Hey, it's the most wonderful time of the year right here in Philly. Although, let's be honest, around the holidays, things really do start to add up. But this season of giving, Verizon's offering a single line for $50 per month when you switch and bring in your phone. So while ice skating for two is definitely costing more, at Verizon, you can save. How about gifts for a third cousin? Now we know that could be steep, but a single line with Verizon, not so steep. How about hosting a holiday get together? Good luck with that. A line with Verizon, now that's something to celebrate. A real Christmas tree. We know that can be pricey, but a single line with Verizon, it's less pricey. Even a trip to the Philly Holiday Market will cost you more, but with Verizon, you can switch and bring in your phone for just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. All this to say, during the holiday season, when everything is costing more, you can get more for less right now at a local Verizon store.